The people demand we give them one. After a week of waiting, the time has come.
Travis, I'll give you a peek into some of the good criticism I get, like some of the real quality suggestions I get on how to improve the show. Earlier today, Travis, it was suggested to me that the way to improve the program is to replace you with my wife.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Replace Travis.
Well, he didn't say replace Travis. But he said, oh, you should do the show with your wife and drunk.
Ah, there he was. Might as well have said.
Travis. Forever.
WFOD. My name is Mike. I am joined by the king of pranks, the albino alligator, the popcorn bitch, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Hello.
And guys, a drunkard STL on the Twitters is here. Hello, drunk. Oh, no, drunk. I'm sorry. I fucked up, drunk.
I'm very well, Mike. How are you today?
I'm okay. Guys, the phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Travis, after the break, we're going to be talking to Josie Scott.
Survival fame?
He's a musician man.
And they say that hero
Spider-Man 3 fame?
No, Spider-Man 1 drop.
Oh, sorry, Spider-Man 1 fame?
Spider-Man 3? Fuck, it was on the first one. Looking forward to talking to him, Travis. I want to tell you about Chechnya, Travis. Chechnya has passed a new law.
That's like southern Russia, right?
Where you can't have music. I think it's like pretty much all Western music, Travis. But they're not coming out and saying that. It's about them BPMs, Travis. You know the BPMs?
That's the, yeah, staying alive is the 180 beats per minute that you need to do to save a person's life. Whenever you do CPR, don't you know that you're supposed to do it to the beat?
So you're
I don't know what song that is that you were just telling.
Was that Staying Alive? Staying Alive. That was Staying Alive, right?
In a move to stem what it says is a polluting influence from the West, Chechnya's culture minister has announced a ban on music that is either too fast or too slow, requiring that songs have a tempo of between 80 to 160. 16 beats per minute.
Now, Travis, I don't understand.
Lame.
Just quickly tell me why they're banning these beats per minute. Did he just say, and I just blanked it out? Why?
Its leader, Ramzan Kadyrov, who came to power in 2007, ordered the new rules along with his culture minister, who explained that music should, quote, conform to the Chechen mentality and sense of rhythm, and that borrowing musical culture from other peoples is inadmissible.
This guy gave us some examples. And I do have a game, Travis. I have a game for us.
Just to give you an idea, Taylor Swift's hit Cruel Summer comes in at a swift 170 beats per minute, so it's much too fast. I can buy myself flowers. Last year's smash pop hit Flowers by Miley Cyrus clocks in at 118, so also a bit too fast.
These songs are much too fast for the Chechen government.
So, is Chechnya an actual state of Russia, or is it its own separate country?
I think it's its own thing.
But I think Chechnya is its own thing now.
Still communist, though.
I think it used to be under the umbrella of the USSR, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
But
well, I mean, everything over there was.
The Chechen government has given artists in the region until June 1st to rewrite music that doesn't meet the new requirements. Ironically, the Russian national anthem might not make the cut. Most versions would be considered too slow under the new rules.
So it can't be too fast or too slow?
Yeah. It has to be between 80 and 116, Travis.
And what is the reasoning?
Because Western influence, like most Western songs are in between that. Chechnya, they want to dance to their own beat, Travis. And so,
but they just said the Russia national anthem was slower.
It inspired me to create America's new favorite game show, Travis.
Nice.
Can you play this in Chechnya, or does it have 116 or more? The beats have to be in the right number of beats to be played in Chechnya. Da da da, da da da. So, Travis, I have three rounds of "Can you play this in Chechnya?"
Do they steal? What do they steal your iPod if you're playing music that's too fast or too slow?
So, I don't know. Maybe you get a ticket, like if you're playing it in your car.
To the gulag.
He had time to come up with that song today, but you know, can't get the.
Well, I came up with it Tuesday when we were gonna do it. So, Travis, I have three rounds of "Can you play that in Chechnya?" The first round is Tupac's "I Wonder If Heaven Got a Ghetto."
Little young, doing bad. Talk much, cause I never had. I could remember being whooped in class. And if I didn't pass, mama whoop mine. Was it my fault? Papa didn't plan it out. Broke out, left
apparently
me to
an
be
edited
the man in the house. I couldn't take it, had to make a cry.
Drunk put his eye shields on, Travis. So you can feel it.
I think if you would have picked Tupac's "Dear Mama," I think that would have been able to be played in Chechnya, but I think I'm gonna take points on this one and say that's too fast.
I would say all rap songs too fast.
Guys, Tupac's "I Wonder If Heaven Got a Ghetto" is 108, so you can play that in Chechnya. Guys, round two, Rihanna's "Bitch Better Have My Money."
Bitch better have my money.
Too fast.
I think I've already figured out the game here. You can play these all in Chechnya.
Travis is correct, Drunk, in that you can play "Bitch Better Have My Money" in Chechnya. That is 103 beats per minute. I don't get beats per minute, Travis.
I guess I don't understand it either.
They
played that Taylor Swift song that was like slow, and I'm like, well, that can't fit into this. And like Tupac's is like felt like it was slower than the Taylor Swift. It doesn't make sense to me.
All right, Drunk. So Travis has one up on you here. Round three. This is make or break. Prince's "Little Red Corvette."
Guess I must be dumb. She had a pocket full of horses, children, and some abuse. But it was Saturday night. I guess that makes it all.
Can you play that in Chechnya, Travis?
I wish you would have let that one breathe.
hell yeah, baby.
Absolutely cannot play that one in Chechnya.
Yes, you can.
Drunk pulls out the tie. Little Red Corvette is 123. You cannot play that in Chechnya, yep. Travis.
I was gonna say you can't, but then Drunk said you can, and I was like, nope, I'm going opposite.
Now, Travis, on a similar tick, there is an island called Alicudi.
And where's Alicudi at?
Well, maybe they'll explain it to us here.
The people of Alicudi are being overwhelmed by the local goat population. Goats outnumber the islanders 6-1, at least. It could be as high as 8-1. There are
at
anywhere
least.
Between 600 to 800 goats on the island, meaning the 100 or so humans are heavily outnumbered.
So there's 100 people on this island, Travis.
I Googled it.
Haven't these people figured out how to kill goats?
All I could find was a man named Ali Cudi.
A-L-I-C-U-D-I.
C-U-D-I, not K.
They've never heard of goat meat and goat stew?
Goat milk.
But so there's 100 people and 600 goats.
Oh, it's one word.
It's a little tiny island.
In Italy.
In Italy.
You bash their heads in, you put them over an open fire on a spit.
Ali Cudi's mayor decided to donate his prized rams, send them to a willing recipient. Notice that he isn't selling. Dude, no, it's a charitable donation, and this has sparked a frenzy. People are lining up to get a goat. One potential adopter is on a neighboring island called Vulcano.
Travis, you could just...
People are lining up to get a goat.
So originally they said, hey man, we'll give you these goats, but you can't kill them. But now they're saying, just take our goats. Just take them any way you can get them.
I still don't understand. Like, no, nobody's like keying in on the fact you just bash it in the head and cook it. You got fucking goats everywhere. Eat goats.
You can eat them. They're food, right?
Yes.
The meat absolutely. Is fine.
Like almost every culture besides America eats goats.
And yeah. So, Travis, I looked up a phone, the only phone number I could find.
I'm pretty sure it's more popular than beef in the world.
Well, on Ali Cudi was a bar. It's called Bar Lerone. Their phone number was Googleable. And I guess I was hoping that maybe like they knew the mayor and they could get us in contact with them so we could get us some goats.
So
during the summertime, your neighbor needs a goat for fucking sure.
This island has got 100 people on it, and it actually has a tavern?
Yeah, it has a bar Lerone, Travis.
I mean, I guess you have to have a tavern.
There's enough people to have a tavern.
But yeah. Wow, there's 100 people on an island.
Okay, yeah. What else are they going
to
do for
fun? Just go to your buddy's garage. And dude, everybody...
You should see the size of this island. It's teeny tiny.
It does seem, though, that like if they just ate some goats... They wouldn't problem have solved. A goat problem, right?
Yeah, it's not a story. You got a bunch of cattle running around.
You know, I was real excited about this, that they were going to give us some goats. But now I'm reconsidering. These people are idiots.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like egg-laying season or not, but I have an egg problem right now.
An egg problem?
Yeah, like just random people I happen to know are like, hey, I got you a dozen eggs.
That's a... good problem to
yeah,
have,
yeah,
man.
That sounds fine. Give me some eggs. Bring eggs
unless you
over
don't
here,
like
I'll
eggs,
take them.
I guess.
No, I
eat
love
eggs, all the time.
But I got like 5 dozen in my refrigerator.
I love eggs.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Hard boiled, fried.
Just fresh out of the chicken's ass, man.
Sounds good. Bring them over.
The best ones. They don't fucking bleach out the color. They're brown.
Travis, every week I give this fucking guy a cola. You'd think he'd bring me a dozen eggs every now and then.
Or at least a egg.
If he has a surplus, you know? Speaking of which,
I don't do all these goddamn eggs.
Speaking
at Mike's house,
of which, Travis, maybe we need to have Drunk try his cola.
Well, they call me Drunk. I've had my share of whiskeys from Tennessee to Kentucky and all places in between.
Oh yeah,
I stumble down the road, my boots kick up the dust. I'm the king of colas, that's a title you can trust. I'm the king of colas, that's just what they all say. I light them up, knock them down, drink them night and day. Don't need no fancy wine or spirits in a glass. Give me a cold cola, and I'll make it last. Down at the honky tonk.
Can I say real quick? I like your King of Cola songs much better than these AI generated ones.
What? Because they have that personal touch? Is it?
Yeah. And it's like they're clever. That's.
I break all the rules, baby.
Yeah, they're clever. Your songs are clever. It's just like a computer being like, let's make a country song. And he's going to say a King of Cola a couple times.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a Zia, and it looks like it's got some sort of Native American motif on it. And it's called Pinion Cola.
Pinion.
Roasted pina cola, nut, and lime.
That's too much.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
Nothing, that's too much things.
But it also underneath says nothing artificial.
Okay.
So it's all natural, lots of things.
Isn't cola...
filtered carbonated water
artificial?
The first ingredient, so... Hmm. And there's not a lot of... It's cane sugar, cola nut, roasted pine nut, vanilla, cinnamon...
He's reading the ingredients, Travis.
Lime juice.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
He's trying to get a feel for what he's about to ingest.
Bottled in New Mexico. Okay.
We're going back to the roots, literally. Cola nut.
Cola nut.
I'm assuming Daddy wants a swig.
Daddy wants a swig, drunk. Oh, it's clear. That's weird. Oh, it's not clear. It's...
I mean, it looks like dirt water.
Yeah.
It's like dirty tap water. You got shitty pipes.
Hmm.
Like in
big swig there, smells, big swig.
Ooh, lemony. It smell. I haven't drank it yet.
That is citrusy.
It
delightful.
Is
delightful. That is very delightful.
It does not taste like a
call
cola.
It cola.
No, it doesn't taste like a cola at all.
But they're branding it as a cola. They're saying cola, and they're using cola nuts.
Hmm.
God.
He likes it.
I
though.
Really do want to give this a high score, but this is not cola. And I give like you know. Shitty ass sparkling waters you make me drink fucking bad scores
because
they're not cola.
Well, I guess this is a come to Jesus moment, Travis, where drunk has to decide, does he just want to give it a good score for having a good taste?
I mean, they say it's a cola, so you have to, I guess, respect what they're marketing it as. I guess you could give it the score you want, and then we could put an asterisk next to it.
It says cola with a K. Is that kind of like crab with a K?
Oh, that's like Mortal Kombat. It's not real combat.
I think it is real combat, isn't it? It isn't? I didn't know that rule, Travis.
No, they got those weird finishing. They're throwing spears at each other and shit. I don't know.
Well, he's finishing it off.
I mean, I'm done with the bottle. That's how good it was.
Man, that boy likes to chug a soda.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can't say that Zia isn't good.
7.2.
7.2. So
it would be higher if it, you know,
was actually a cola.
How high would that be if we were just rating drinks?
In the eights.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Guys, what we're going to do, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Josie Scott. Excited about this one, Travis.
I'll tell you what. Back in the day,
Josie Scott was your dude.
I was a
huh?
big fan. I mean, I can't say that I'm not a big fan now, but I mean, he was my shit back in the day.
Yeah.
Stick around.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, would you bring your attention to me? For a beast for your eyes to see, an explosion of catastrophe, like nothing you've ever seen before. Watch closely as I open this door. Your jaws will be on the floor. After this, you'll be begging for more.
Coming up, musician Josie Scott.
I'll see you.
Do you want it? Do you need it? Let me hear it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
He was on the fucking Spider-Man soundtrack. Stick around.
One portion of the book says babies are taught to be racist or anti-racist. There is no neutrality. Another portion of the book, they recommend the babies confess when being racist. Now, this is a book that is taught at Georgetown Day School to students in pre-K through second grade, so 4 through 7 years old. Anti-racist baby. Do you agree with this book that is being taught to kids that babies are racist?
Anti-racist baby.
Anti-racist baby.
Don't be a racist baby.
You want me to put that on my todger?
Once again, WFOD, wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Yeah. No.
Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is a musician best known as the former frontman of rock and roll band Saliva. You can catch him soon in his new solo project, touring the country with Trapped, Edema, and Tantric on the Parental Advisory Tour. Check out josiescottrocks.com to see where they're playing near you. Guys, Josie Scott is on the program. Josie, how's it going, man?
What's up?
We weren't sure if we were going to have you on video or if we were just going to look at that awesome, like, PR photo of you, like, rocking out super hard.
That's a pretty old photo, man. That's from the Ladies and Gentlemen video shoot.
Hey, don't worry about it. I use as old of pictures as I can find of myself anytime that I'm trying to...
Hey, nothing wrong with a good picture, if it's 20 years old.
Still looking good, though, man. You're in your 50s now, right?
Yeah, I'm about to turn 52 on May 3rd.
Jeez.
Isn't that crazy?
How does it feel? Like, because you were gone for a while. Do you feel it going out there as a 50-something-year-old guy now?
You know what? I've been pretty blessed and fortunate in that regard. I do work at it. Relentlessly in the gym and with my lifestyle and, you know, eating correctly and, I say correctly, you know, as clean as I possibly can. I try to stay away from sugar and the bad stuff or whatever.
When did you put that together real quick? Like, what age did that hit you? Because I'm 43 right now and I think about it all the time. Like, God damn it, I'm still eating like I'm a 22-year-old man, just shoving shit in my body like it's never going to catch up with me. And it has. When did it hit you that you needed to not only work out, but like start to actively think about what you shoved in your mouth?
I think it, you know, I've always been rebellious by nature. So it took me a long time to learn my lesson. But I think somewhere around my mid-40s, I was like, you know what? My dad died at 50 and I don't want to go out like that. And I don't want to do that to my children. And I adore my kids. You know, I want to be around for as long as I possibly can. And my pops was one of those guys who, you know, old country boys that refused to go to the doctor and, you know, smoked a pack and a half of Camels a day and was skinny as a rail, but ate a box of Little Debbie's every chance he got. And I just never understood. I took after my mother and was heavy set. You know, I've always battled with my weight since I was in my football years in high school. And I guess it hit me around my mid-40s. I was like, look, you know, I want to be around for my children a lot longer than my pops was. And, you know, I just started making healthier choices. You know, how they say by a man's friends, you'll know him. And so I started hanging out with people, you know, that are making smarter life choices than I was making.
Was there a moment that you can remember, like, were you shoving like half a pizza down your face and you were like, man, maybe this isn't the thing?
Dude, I'm always shoving half a pizza down my face, so that could have been any given moment.
So, Josie, was this all part of why you left music to begin with? Wanting to live a healthier lifestyle, wanting to be there for your kids, was this all wrapped up in the same thing?
That's a great question. yes, it had absolutely probably 50% to do with it. Because
I imagine there's a lot of McDonald's when you're a touring musician. That's what's out there.
Well, yeah, right? Right. Like Linkin Park said in an interview one time, when they get off the stage and you get back to the bus, or, you know, if you're flying that day or whatever, it's pizza or whatever's the closest fast food, you know, within reach. And, you know, you just have to make smarter decisions after you get into the highlight of your twilight, as they call it.
I feel like I wish I would have made a better decision in my 30s, because I feel it would have been easier to develop that really good habit in your 30s.
Right. Right. I wish that too. I wish I could have got a bigger, better jump on this than I did. But, you know, que sera, sera.
Yeah, you betcha.
So did you have a period where you just fell out of love with music as a whole? Like, you just weren't interested in doing it anymore?
That's a great question. Such a great question. Damn, Mike, you are just killing.
Well, I'm curious, Josie, because you are a top of the world man. You're on the Spider-Man soundtrack, and then you're just like, nah, don't want to do this anymore.
You know, I don't want to say that I fell out of love with music, because that would like being that's like saying I fell out of love with my kids, or I fell out of love with the love of my life. That wouldn't be possible. I think I fell out of love with everything that came along with it. I fell out of love with the constant party of the early to mid 2000s. You got to think, it was a different world. Even just a few years ago, it was a different world. You know, that a couple of our friends had passed away from drugs and alcohol, but people weren't just dropping like flies they are now. So,
well, in the early 2000s was like almost, it was a pinnacle of the music. Like when TRL was still going on, and you had your Limp Bizkits and things. I know when you guys, you know, as Saliva, you know, was at your peak, and you were able to do that Spider-Man soundtrack. I mean, I have to imagine that the industry was still just wild. Like, the parties had been insane.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It was like the Wild Wild West, man. You know, everybody was kung fu fighting. No, it was crazy, man. You know, now when you go to a show, like I took my wife to a Breaking Benjamin show the other day, and we've been to Korn shows and, you know, different shows, like Jelly Roll and Struggle Jennings and different friends of ours. And it's like going to, it's like going to a corporate gig or like a corporate business office. Yeah. And the guy's plane comes in, the car picks him up, he brings him to the venue. They walk him through. He says a couple of hellos and takes a couple of pictures, goes on stage, comes back off stage, you know, maybe changes clothes, has a little dinner, and boom, it's onto the next.
The last couple of concerts that I've gone to, Josie, seem a lot more like an amusement park than a rock concert.
Like, well, it's like a theater show, right? It's like going to see a stage play or something.
And that
it's
might
no
just
longer
be because I'm old and I'm getting seats, Travis. You know, I'm not
right.
getting down
you're
there.
You're not standing in general admission, or standing in the pit waiting to get tossed around.
I'm not going to Pops that shares a parking lot with two strip clubs. You know, like I'm going to.
Right. Yeah, you
Josie,
booked your tickets.
You ever play Pops in St. Louis? Shares a parking lot with two strip clubs. That place is a dump.
It's a fun dump.
It sounds kind of familiar. I don't know. I love St. Louis. I'm playing there on my birthday this year.
I saw that, and I wanted to ask you about that, because I remember this is a weird question, but
okay. Bring it.
We talked about We talked about House of Pain recently, that has a guy essentially doing like an impression of Humpty Hump. I think he calls himself a young Hump or something. And they were performing a show as House of Pain, but the guy, the actual Humpty Hump, was also performing a show. And there was some kind of rule where they both couldn't play within the same time frame. And there is a band out there that is Saliva. Now, I don't think anybody from Saliva is in Saliva anymore. But
yeah,
like they're playing here in April, and then you're playing here in May. Like, you don't have to coordinate schedules with them or anything?
No. You know, Bobby and company, we don't really call it that. We don't call it Saliva. It's just kind of Bobby and company to us. We, you know, they do their thing and we do ours, yeah. You know, and we just have to believe in our heart of hearts that the court of public opinion is going to rule the day.
I guess nobody can really tell you, you can't go out and play your own songs, but it's weird that, I guess it's not weird, but I guess you have to choose which Saliva to follow.
It's strange because we've had this conversation before, but usually when it's something like this, you're talking about bands from the 80s and the 70s. True. You're not talking about bands from the early 2000s, the mid 2000s, who've split off and now there's, you know, separate factions. If I can be completely honest, I was a huge fan of Saliva, and then you left to go on and do your own thing, and then I just kind of stopped listening to Saliva, right? Like, because Josie Scott to me was the front man of Saliva, and if the front man of a band is not there anymore, it's not the band, right?
So you just became my new best friend. I love you.
But at the same time, those other guys, they want to feed their families too, Travis. I mean, I get it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and if you want to see a cover band, you know, play those songs, that's your ticket. But if you want to come see this music, you know, played by the guy who wrote it and the guy who's actually in the videos and sang the songs, and come see me, baby.
Josie, you're going out on tour with Trapped and Edema and Tantric.
Oh, mm-hmm. That is a lineup.
That's a hell of a lineup.
I like it.
Yeah, we've been friends with Tantric for years and years and years and years and years. We were actually together at Island Def Jam party the night of 9/11. Or the night before 9/11, we were together on September 10th. And we kind of went our separate ways. He was going to another tour, and I was going to join the Godsmack tour with the original guys in Saliva. And then the next morning, I was in the shower, and I'll never forget it. I'd just gotten, like, you know, when you get your entire body soaked up, and you got soap in your eyes, and you soap all over
the
your body.
The absolute worst time.
Worst time. And Chris DiBaldo is beating on the door going, you got to come out here. You got to come out here. And I'm like, oh my God, it's one of my kids. This is bad, because Chris would never come in to the bathroom while, you know, and vice versa. We would never come in the bathroom while another dude's in there showering. And so he was beating on the door and he goes, you got to come out here. You got to come out here. So I think I barely got the soap out of my eyes. And, you know, me and him are like brothers. We've been together ever since the Blackbone days. And I come rushing out, you know, in my birthday suit. I think I managed to get a towel around my junk and went out and saw the building burning. And I was like, what happened? He goes, I don't know. He goes, I think a plane crashed into one of the Twin Towers. And we loved New York City so much, and still love New York City so much, and that skyline. And the Twins were such a indelible part of our love of that city and our memories of that city.
Right.
And we even had a girlfriend who worked at the Windows of the World restaurant, and thank God she wasn't at work on that day. And I had just sat down on the bed, and I was just kind of stunned silent. And we were just sitting there, you know, just with our jaws on the floor. And then
Yeah, the second
one. Second one hit. Jeez. And Chris goes, oh, shit, bro. He goes, we're under attack, man. This is an attack.
So you associate the band Tantric with 9/11, I guess, is...
Well, a little bit, you know.
I don't know how you Tantric. Come back from that, Travis. I'm trying Tantric. My best.
Tantric is the early 2000s band. Is 9/11. I'm sorry. Jesus, Mike.
They're sweethearts, though. They're sweethearts.
Josie, I have a good Tantric story. Tantric at...
Make sure it's about the band, Mike, and not about your... personal
Travis,
life
at Pops that I was talking about that is it shares a parking lot with two strip clubs.
Yeah.
And so right. We watch the show and then the show is over and a lady who we were not with, had nothing to do with us, handed my friend Chris her purse and $16 cash and then ran up on the stage and went backstage with Tantric. And I think that she was giving him 16. It wasn't explained. She was in a hurry. She gave Chris the money, I guess, to watch her purse and then was gone. She went with Tantric, Travis. She was gone. And we sat there probably for like 7 or 8 minutes. And Chris was trying to decide, like, what do I do? And
he got paid. You stick around.
You just hold her purse, real? Travis?
Yeah, $16. Was he even making
$16?
Yeah, was he making that much an hour at the time? I mean, that was a long time ago.
Back in the day, $16 went a long way.
So is that like a contract?
Yeah, $16 is $16.
Well, I don't think he kept the money, and so I feel like his. If you keep the money, that's a dick move. Then you got to watch the purse.
But what did he do? Just put the money in the purse and put it down?
Yeah, it left it on the table. I mean,
what an asshole!
A couple of gentlemen. He was a gentleman. Look at that.
You got to hold on to the purse and wait till she comes back.
No, Josie, you're not hanging around and watching somebody's purse while a gal goes backstage with Tantric, right?
I would probably have one of my closest associates handle that for me.
You're there, have a drink, hold on to the purse. When she comes back, she's going to be satisfied.
Yeah, I have to answer that question very carefully.
are you writing new music? Is there an album coming, or are we just touring and seeing how it feels right now?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a combo platter. It always is. You know, we're touring and getting our feet wet with you know, just being back out there again, being with the fans again. It's been so amazing, you know, to get to meet and greet with the fans every night and play this music for people and for every single one of them to come up to you and tell you what an amazing effect this music had on their, you know, early childhood or high school years or, you know, I knew I loved this music and I had a personal relationship with this music. But I really had no idea the relationship that other people had with this music. It just did not fully register with me the romantic relationship that the fans of Saliva have with these songs and with this legacy of wonderful music. And
so you just thought after a while they wouldn't care anymore, I guess, because. I mean, it was a long time ago,
I didn't think they wouldn't care. I didn't think they wouldn't care. I just didn't know that it had such a personal imprint on their lives. Like, they'll come up and say that, I just want to thank you because your music got me through a divorce, or your music got me through having a violent partner, or your music got me through having parents that, you know, beat the hell out of each other, or... you know, and those are things that I went through when I was a kid too, you know, so yeah. To have that mirrored moment with a fan and to have that connection with them, not only, through the human condition, but through these beautiful songs is just, a triple blessing for me. It's incredible.
It's one thing I can say, right? It feels
that's one thing that music does, Mike, though. I think it's like music is like a time machine,
sure,
right? Like
yeah.
If there's a certain sound, like there's certain times when I listen to like the Red Hot Chili Peppers Californication, there's certain songs that'll just trigger certain evenings in my early 20s, right? Like cruising with the windows down, about to meet this girl that I liked at the time or whatever. Like it makes it all so vivid. That's the thing about music is it's so transportative. It brings you back to certain times, and I don't think that ever goes away.
Sure, like Dick Clark said, it's the soundtrack of our lives.
You bet, baby. I got one more question. I don't know how many more Mike's got, but Josie, you're a dad. So tell me, getting back out there, getting back on stage, how is touring and how is performing different as a father with older children than it was with as a father with younger children?
Well, I don't have to leave my wife with so much, overwhelming responsibility. Me and my wife have been together, May 29th will be 20 years for us. We've been together for 20 years. We got married at Graceland in Memphis and, did the whole Elvis thing. And, we've had time to raise our children and watch them grow to be these extraordinary little human beings. And they're so self-sufficient all the way down to our youngest. We call her the caboose. She's our last in line, and she's 9 years old, and she's the absolute boss of the other ones. She's just, she keeps the 13-year-old middle daughter and my 18-year-old son in line. She's just running things. And so it's different in that I'm not leaving my wife with, a couple of newborn babies. You don't want it because you don't get any of the time back with them. So I hate missing any of their years or any of their birthdays or their little recitals or their soccer games or what have you. But I think it's a little easier now that they're a little more self-reliant and self-sufficient. And
do you feel like it allows you to experience everything more, like because you don't have that in the back of your head that I just left my wife at home with a couple of little babies? Are you able to actually take in the performance and the experience of performing a little bit more than you were?
Absolutely. Because, my wife is my business partner, and my kids are also business partners. My little 9-year-old daughter Jolie is helping me count in merch a while ago and helping me organize the t-shirt take that I'm taking on the road with me. And she's like, "Okay, Daddy, is that 2 dozen extra larges?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's 2 dozen extra larges."
You got yourself employees. You don't have to pay.
Yeah, she's writing it in her little notebook. I'm like, I love this child.
Travis, my comprehension of your question was different because I was under the impression that you were asking him if like the kids understand that Daddy is famous. But that's not, I guess that's not what you were asking.
We've talked to enough people, Mike, to know that their kids,
they don't care.
Kids don't give a shit about what their parents do.
they really don't. It's so funny because Justice, my 18-year-old son, and my stepson, Dynamite DeLone, who's my rhythm guitar player, they love it because they were around for, the whole Saliva thing and the early 2000s and the original lineup of guys, and they were out there on the bus and, they were doing the damn thing. The two girls, they didn't come along until I left the band.
Yeah.
And so they could absolutely care less. They think it's pretty cool that other people know their father and, they want me to come to school and do a little acoustic performance and sign some autographs and take pictures. They think that's pretty cool. But you could ask them, "Hey, would you wants your dad to play your 16th birthday party, they'd be like, ew, no, ew. Gross.
Of course not. give me a DJ.
Right. They see and respect what daddy does for a living though. And they're cool with it. You know, they get it. And like I said, my little girl's already helping me, you know, co-manage the merch and, you know, send it, making sure she's sending me out with 2 dozen extra larges and 2 dozen double extra larges and 14 mediums. And, you know, she's marking it down in her little notebook. So I leaned over to her one day and I said, you know, you're going to be managing this family when you get older. And she goes, I know.
Well, guys, the parental advisory tour with Trapped, Edema, Tantric, and Josie, it's going to be out all May. It looks like you guys are doing most nights in May. So,
yes,
guys,
sir.
JosieScottRocks.com. Check out when they're playing near you. Josie, man, we appreciate your time. It was really cool talking to you.
Man, Mike, thank you for having me, dude. And thank you for the amazing questions from both of you. And I'd love to come back and chat with you guys anytime.
Oh, yeah, anytime.
Absolutely.
Drunk, do you want to ask Josie the wallet question?
Oh, yeah, Josie. So when you're playing Rocking Out on the stage, where's your wallet, bro? Mm-hmm.
Do you keep your wallet on you or do you leave your wallet backstage when you perform?
I keep my I'm a wallet guy, man. I love.
I bet you're like a chain. Are you a chain wallet guy?
No. I'm this guy.
Oh, is that? That
oh, you got one of those bad boys. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the ridge. I
love this thing, dude.
You just got like a pile of stuff, drunk. Pile of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like the code. As well, except I don't got the code 118.
Yeah.
It's like the switchblade in the middle.
Yeah.
So it's on you always. You leave it on you when you go out there?
Yeah, on me all the time. I'm one of those guys I have to have it on me at all times. I never know when I'm gonna see something I want.
Josie, thank
you. I'm a tourist, man. I like my stuff.
we can hopefully do this again sometime, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thank you guys for having
me. Thank you. Take care.
Thanks, Josie. Be well.
All right, you too.
Travis, that was awesome.
That was awesome. I wouldn't say it was going to be awesome. I love Saliva, dude. Like, I love Josie Scott. That was awesome. But yeah, I've got no issues with that.
He just walked away, Travis, to go be a dad. You imagine him walking into PTA meetings?
Yeah, right. Like, hey, look at
the fucking braided goatee. That's fucking cool.
Wearing leather. It says Josie Scott president on it.
Yeah. Like
how badass. I love it.
Imagine your dad was Josie Scott, Travis.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that. I mean, he's only 9 years older than me, but I can imagine it. Give him a call. He'd be my new best friend.
Absolutely.
We don't have.
They say that a hero can save us. Not gonna stand here and wait. Right?
I thought he was going to be upset about that because, you know, people, rock stars have a thing about being soundtrack artists. So.
Fuck that. I asked guy about the soundtrack and he goes, I used to do every fucking soundtrack they sent me.
Yeah, especially in the early 2000s. That was fucking rock soundtrack.
Now they're not doing soundtracks anymore. No. He goes, I wish they would.
That was like the pinnacle of hard rock soundtracks. It was like the Punisher and fucking Freddy versus Jason and
Spawn.
Fucking God. Spawn. Oh, Spawn soundtrack was so fucking good.
Yeah. The first two Crows.
Godzilla.
Godzilla.
The best soundtrack.
Even Immaculate. City of Angels.
Dubfod goes hard.
Travis, I have a pick of the week that I'd like to share with you. Have you checked out the new Fallout series?
That's my pick of the week.
Me and Lindy are going to do that on vacation when we get to the hotels.
That's my pick of the week. I just finished episode 5. It is wonderful.
It's really, I didn't play the games. I don't know anything about Fallout, so it's probably for the best that I don't.
I did Fallout 3.
Because I hear a bunch of people bitching that like they don't
maybe I played both.
Like follow the game, so I don't give a shit about that. I just want to watch
the show. It doesn't fucking matter. If it's a good show, it's a good show. Just don't be so caught up in fucking having it follow the game. Just be like, hey, it's called Fallout.
And lore. It's all about the lore. Fuck your lore.
Tra- Travis,
how about let's make a new lore?
It's like the Game of Thrones hardos that are like, oh, it doesn't follow the book exactly. Well, that's good because you already read the book. You know what happens.
They didn't have Lady Stoneheart in there.
I think I'm convinced at this point, Travis, that I'll watch Walton Goggins do anything.
Oh, yeah, 100%. He steals the show, quite literally. And that
he
is
steals
not
every
unlike,
show he's on.
Yeah, that's not unlike what he has done in The Righteous Gemstones, Justified, Vice Principal.
That's the dude from Vice Principals, right?
So good. Walton Goggins is the best. And even when he shows up for like fucking 3 minutes in a movie, it's just like, fuck yeah, Walton Goggins.
It's the best
It's
the best 3 minutes of the movie. I can guarantee that.
And I was just rewatching. I have to rewatch Django Unchained all the time because it's the only Quentin Tarantino movie that I don't like, but I like parts of it.
Yeah.
But the best part of Django Unchained is Walton Goggins. He gets fucking blasted in the dick, and the way he screams just like a girl, like the whole time, is just like so hilarious to me.
Trevor, speaking of Django Unchained, I asked a guy on Twitter that Christian Blatt guy, I asked him on Twitter today who he'd cast as Dr. Doom, and he said Christoph Waltz as Dr. Doom, which that'd be kind of cool, right? I'd watch that.
Is he too old?
Maybe he's too old.
Maybe too old.
But, you know, we said that Ian McKellen was too old to be Magneto, too, and I thought he was fun as Magneto.
Yeah, he was great as Magneto.
I thought the other guy was better.
I mean, isn't Liam Neeson too old to be in every movie he's in?
That's true. Liam Neeson's way too old to be doing the things he's doing.
That's why he's doing a Leslie Nielsen reboot and making The Naked Gun.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
That'll be hilarious. I'm very excited for that. But yeah, I mean, I guess I could see Christoph.
So, Travis, we share a pick of the week this week.
Yeah, we share a pick of the week this week. Fallout is 100% the thing that I'm very much enjoying. Like I said, just absolutely tonight, finished episode 5, and I'm very sad there's only 3 left, but I'm excited to watch them. And I'm very excited it just got announced today that it got renewed for a second season. So,
Drunk pick of the week.
You got to watch out with that, though. Drunk's pick of the week. It is on Netflix. The magic prank show with Justin Willman.
Oh,
pretty funny stuff.
So he's a comedian, or he's a magician, or he's both.
He's a little bit of both.
Okay.
And so he has people contact him about who they want to prank, and then they kind of set it up.
Oh.
Kind of like a punk kind of deal.
Is it kind of like that Johnny Knoxville show?
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, okay.
Is it like the Carbonaro effect?
Carbonaro?
Kind of, except, you know, they put him up to, hey, I need you to prank my brother. My brother's been doing this to me all these years.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like a cross between Scare Tactics with Tracy Morgan and Carbonaro
and Punk'd, and
I'll watch
magic.
That sounds fun.
And Justin Willman's a very good magician.
That sounds like one of those fun shows that you put on before you go to bed because you don't want to think.
And then you pass out. And
sure.
That's why The Impractical Jokers is so successful. It's because it's like, does not fucking matter.
Yeah, you just put it on because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and sometimes you laugh because you're actually paying attention.
You know what show that was for me for a while, Travis, was that Dick and Pussy show.
Oh, yeah.
We're just looking
at a Dick and Pussy.
Pussies, and they were picking which Dick and Pussy they liked. That was
fun. Yep, first date Dick and Pussy, that show.
Guys, we did it. Check out the Parental Advisory Tour. Josie's good guy. That was fun talking to him, Travis.
Yeah, it was great. If you would have asked me in 2002 if I would have ever been able to have a conversation with Josie Scott over the internet, I'd have been like, nope.
Yeah, no. And
here we are.
A hero came to save us, Travis.
I told my wife about it. She was super stoked. She was like, who you get to talk to? Who?
And she doesn't get like that very often, does she?
Never.
We're fucking big shots, Lindy. Accept it.
I'm still standing.
Yeah.
It's
for listening to this installment of the Dub Fod. If you enjoyed it, subscribe on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you listen to podcasts. While you're there, take a moment to share a link, tell a friend, leave a review, or do any of the other things podcasts ask you to do. This operation is completely independent, and so your support is appreciated. Leave questions, comments, or whatever you want on our voicemail at 636-487-HAND or by email to Mike, Travis, or Drunk at WFODshow.com. Special thanks as always to our Patreon sponsors, the Duchess of New Jersey, Assistant Treads, Benny Michaels, Liquid Lozenge, Brian Kranz, Valerie Carpenter, Jay Adson, and Rabbit Poundings. You can become a Patreon sponsor yourself to get early access to episodes for as little as a dollar a month at patreon.com/WFODix. WFODshow.com has our entire back catalog. It also has a place to fully immerse yourself in Dub Fod lore with cola rankings, flat drunks, and more. You can also follow us at WFODshow on Twitter and Instagram or WFODix on Facebook and YouTube. The music featured is provided by Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. All AI voices are fake, all content is probably a joke, and we think you're really nice and cool. We'll be back next week, but really, we're never gone. Take care. My sounds aren't working. Do none of these sounds work? None of my sounds work. Well, that's gonna be a fucking problem. Do your sounds work?
Nope.
Did it come up? Why isn't anything working?
This fucking guy, drunk, gets us on an off day, got nothing fucking work. He's fucking messaging and tweeting all fucking day long.
Via Messenger, via...
Messenger X. All day long.
Why the fuck isn't anything working?
Drunk, are you coming today, drunk? Why don't you come? You should come today, drunk.
15 minutes to get onto the fucking Zoom. Can't get the shit fucking set up before we start recording. What the fuck are we doing here?
I work today, Travis.
How'd you message so much? What do you do at your job? All fucking day. Bleep, bleep, bleep. Fucking Mike's messaging. Bleep, bleep. Mike's twittering. How do you fucking have so much time?
My sound isn't. My sound isn't working. That's what I was wondering, too. Why is it? This is fucking terrible.
Hang on. Be quiet for a second.
Oh, good for you.
There we go.
There's one.
You look Paul.
The people.
We got it.
Okay.
There's your sounds. All right. Back to it.
So you were talking about the
let me get my Chechnya stuff up here.
Oh yeah, Chechnya.
Fucking Chechnya.
The beats per minute staying alive. So yeah, whenever you do CPR, don't you know that you're supposed to do it
So you
I don't know what song that is that you were just telling me.
That was staying alive, right?